Hey there, Agile Three-Toed Sloths, and welcome to another episode of Agile Bytes, the podcast sponsored by Integrity Inspired Solutions, where we build software in an agile manner, day in and day out. You know, in our last episode, I talked about how I wanted to pivot the podcast more toward addressing agile issues from a management perspective. What does management need to know? What do we struggle with at the management level when it comes to the organization becoming more agile and the different pitfalls and challenges you have to overcome? So as part of transitioning to that, I picked out a couple of topics that sort of occupy something of a middle ground. Some of them were suggested by you in response to the last episode, so thank you for that. And keep doing that, by the way. By all means, if there's something you'd like for us to talk about, definitely let us know. But some of it were just things that I didn't feel like maybe we fully addressed on the other side of the fence, but I still think they have interest to management. And so we're going to have at least a few episodes that kind of occupy that middle ground. And today's is one of them. And today we're going to be talking about business analysts, or BAs, in an agile world. We have a very vibrant chapter of the IIBA here in Kansas City, and I have spoken at those meetings and been to their conference. You know, business analysts, they're out there. You know, they are professionals and they provide valued services. And the transition to agile isn't always an easy one compared to where they're coming from. So we're going to talk about that today. So if you've got a business analyst friend, send this podcast to them. If your company is thinking of firing all their BAs, don't do that. And hopefully there's something in here that can be helpful. So like most roles in companies that we're familiar with from the waterfall era, you know, project managers, product managers, business analysts, QA, a lot of these things still need to happen in the agile world, but the manner in which they happen is very different. It's transformed ultimately by different goals and a different workflow. And in my opinion, a lot of these roles really come to life under a more agile way of working. They're more empowering, they're more meaningful, they're higher value. Back in the days of waterfall, RBAs were mostly Word documents with legs. But under an agile environment, there's so much value and proactivity that a business analyst can bring. So in order to think about that, first I want to do a quick review of sort of the quote-unquote traditional BA in software development. This is back when, you know, waterfall roamed the earth. And a lot of the business analyst role actually has its origins in that methodology, because the first thing you do is you create a big upfront requirements document, or Buford, as one might say. This document was a Word document usually. It was many, many, many pages, dozens and dozens, where each feature of the system that needed to be built was explained. Sometimes there might be sketches or wireframes thrown in, but it's all about required fields and validations. And you figured all this stuff out before you actually did any other kind of work on the project. There was one client that I went to. They had spent a year and 15 people's time putting together the requirements document, which was over 130 pages. The company had spent over $1 million putting that Word document together. And nowadays, that might seem ridiculous. Well, it kind of sounded ridiculous then too, but it was far more common in the days like that. And so obviously, if you're going to be spending all this time creating all this big document, that's going to be expensive if lots of people are involved, because you're going to be paying for all these people's time. So in classic Ford/Taylor style, we decided to have one person do it. And this one person would be trained in how to do that, and then nobody else would have to worry about it. It's huge money savings, right, to have one person who's responsible for this under this rubric, right? So this person is responsible for gathering the information and structuring the information that goes into that requirements document, which will then be signed off on and then passed down to another team who's going to do the design and the build and the testing. That's the way waterfall works. And any questions or changes or anything that need to happen, the BA is that point of contact for that. They are the voice of the requirements document, even as they are the source of the requirements document. Well, a lot of that doesn't really fit into an agile world very well, does it? Because we don't have the Buford anymore. Instead, we have user stories, you know, minimally. Sometimes we do other things, or product backlog items, you know, if you want to be a little more comprehensive than user stories. And that's what we work with. We don't work with a big document anymore. also the big upfront requirements document and the workflow that is arranged around that, it sort of assumes things like our teams are organized by skill set, as opposed to having a cross-functional team that contains all the skills you need to deliver products. So BAs are in a group and they're writing documentation that they then send to the design group or the developer group to do the design work, or the architects, right? There's the architecture group that does that. And then that goes to the next group, and then that goes to the next group. So we have all these silos and handoffs. Well, we don't like that in an agile world, right? We want cross-functional teams. We want to keep our dependencies minimal and managed well and that sort of thing. The other problems that we would run into, obviously, is that people are building based off of a document, right? They were not present for those conversations. The people who are building the thing weren't present to hear the context, to hear the why behind why this was the solution that was settled on. You know, they didn't hear the other alternatives that were considered, but ultimately rejected for this reason or that reason. They didn't know any of this stuff. It's just they got a Word document and they had to interpret it and build. And all of you probably know, if you send the same document to five different people, you might as well have sent five different documents, right? Because we all interpret those documents. And when you interpret them without context, you're going to interpret them different ways. And even if your development team can agree on an interpretation, there's no guarantee that what you guys decided the business meant is what they meant, right? It's what you interpreted from that document. So there's a lot of time wasted in errors and missed requirements and going back and forth and things like that. Well, in an agile world, we don't like that. We don't like the silos and the handoffs. We don't like working from a document. We want conversations. We want the people doing the building to know the why of what they're building, the business value of what they're doing, so they can participate in these conversations and be more effective at their job. So the traditional model for the BA of, I'm going to meet with all the users, I'm going to write down all the requirements and the required fields and the validations and how they want the screens to look and what features they want and things like that. And then I'm going to put that into a big document, which I'm going to hand off to the developers. That world doesn't really exist anymore. That does not fit into a model that is trying to get us into higher agility. That is a very low agility model. The problem is that as experts, you know, like myself, charge companies money to do quote unquote agile transformations, a lot of that is focused on the developers, but very few people are helping these poor business analysts make that transition. They're sort of expected to figure it out. Same with project managers, by the way, or product managers, by the way, or managers in general. They're just sort of expected to sort of come along and adapt, or the accountants, the budgeting. And that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen any more than you know, your development teams will just spontaneously come up with these things either. So no one has really helped these folks out. So what happens is, more often than not, is a business analyst continues to do what they did before. They just change the format. They are still having extensive conversations with users about screens and dropdowns and required fields and validations. They are still the one person who documents all those things. The only difference is now those requirements are getting broken up into quote unquote user stories. So you have these little snippets. Now we have taken the big requirements document and we've decomposed everything into as a role, I want functionality, so that benefit format. Now, I do want to say at the beginning, like, I think this describes a pretty good chunk of business analysts who are at companies trying to do things in a more agile manner. You're just kind of doing what you always did, but trying to make it look like the agile folks say it ought to look like. They're like, don't give us a requirements document, give us user stories. And you're like, all right, I'll just take everything that I got and I'll break it into tiny pieces. And here you go. Here's your user story. And I do want to say that there is value in doing that. If you are taking a huge thing of work and you are breaking it down into quarterly chunks, even, you know, or monthly or weekly, or you're breaking it all the way down into user stories that take a few days, there is value in doing that. There's immense value in everybody working in smaller batches. So you're not doing a bad job here. You're providing value when you do stuff like that. At the same time, that's not really advancing our agility very much. Now we just have a big requirements document that we are only focusing on one thing at a time, which is kind of the way we did it in the beginning anyway. You're still just one person. You're still the person who is the point of contact for users. You are still creating requirements artifacts that are being handed off to the developers. We haven't really changed that at all. We haven't changed all the risks that are involved in that kind of workflow. So what do we do then? If you're not supposed to do that, what are you supposed to be doing? Well, here's what I think. The thing that business analysts bring to the table is they are highly skilled, as their title implies, in analyzing the business. They have a deep understanding of the business or can quickly acquire it. They ask probing questions. They ask about the why this, why that. What are the steps you go through to do this today? Well, have you thought about doing it this way? You know, they're very good at asking those kinds of questions in ways that at least some software developers are not. A lot of times software developers approach business processes and problems from the standpoint of software. In fact, a pretty good chunk of them actually approach it from the standpoint of databases, right? You start talking about a business process and a developer is already thinking, okay, well, I'm going to need this table and I'm going to need that table and this, that, and the other thing, right? And so the business analyst brings a lot of value of being the person on the team who can think about these problems in a different way, who can think about these problems in a non-software-centric kind of way. The way this looks in the quote-unquote requirements gathering world, however, there's going to be a radical shift because you are no longer gathering requirements. You are no longer going to potential users and saying, what features do you need? What things do you want in the software? How do you want these screens to look? How do you want them to operate? This may be a radical proposal, but I propose that you get out of that business and that you get into the business of capturing business capabilities, right? So that the things you're talking about when you talk to users are not about dropdowns and screens and tabs. They're not about form fields. They are instead about the business capabilities that are already happening, things that your business already needs or is already doing, or is some kind of capability they might need in the future in terms of the things they're trying to get done from a real-world perspective. So the user stories are things that the users are going to tell you, the business analyst. You are not going to sit down and author user stories per se. You are instead going to capture the things that users are telling you. And you are going to ask them probing questions like, why does that need to be done, right? Or this thing that you're wanting, how do you do that today? What's the value of that today? Or is this step in the process even really necessary? I find a lot of times when working with teams, when we focus on business capabilities, we find solutions to make them faster and better that have nothing to do with software at all, just because nobody has really critically examined the business process, right? And business analysts are in a great position to do that because they are very skilled at thinking through those business processes and how they would explain slash justify those processes to a completely different group of people if necessary. I think business analysts are good at figuring out at what point developers and QE need to be brought into these discussions and conversations because now we're talking about things that they really need to know, right? They can facilitate the right conversations between the right people when there's ambiguity, right? You're not supposed to be the shield between developers and users. You're supposed to be the facilitator. When developers are like, we don't understand this, or we thought of scenarios that I don't think the users thought of, then you can say, okay, well, here are the people who I think need to be involved in that conversation. I'll make it happen. Or if it doesn't need to be a meeting with everybody, I will get you those answers, right? Business analysts are great for that. I especially think business analysts can be very helpful in assisting users in thinking about their needs from the standpoint of business capabilities as opposed to software. I think that you're in a really good position to help users talk about the stuff they want to get done, not talk about screens, dropdowns, buttons, and forms, and links. And this is something that users sometimes need help with because, especially if you're doing something like replacing an existing system or something like that, sometimes users themselves will think about what they need in terms of software features, and they will articulate that to you. You know, like, tell me about this invoice approval process. Okay, well, I'm going to need a grid where I see the invoices that I can sort and I can filter. And then I'm going to want to click on that invoice and then see the details of that invoice. And then I'm going to need a button where I can click to approve, but then it's going to pop up a screen and it's going to ask me for these five pieces of information that we got to have every time we approve an invoice. Okay, that user is talking about software. They're not talking about their business, right? They're not talking about the things that they need to happen from a business perspective. You are in a good position to help them not do that. This is why I think it's so important that business analysts really focus on not doing that themselves. Because most business analysts, if you're very experienced, then you come from a world where this is what you do, is help users think about software. I'm encouraging you to reverse engineer that process, right? Your job is not to help users think about software. Your job is to help users stop thinking about software and instead think of business capabilities. And I'm going to give you an example here in a minute so you can see more clearly what I'm talking about, the way a business analyst might handle a certain situation. But before we get into that, I just want to put that out there that you can help users do that. But because you do have a foot in the software world, you are also in a good position to think about business processes as they could be once we bring software into the mix. I'll give you an example. We had a client and I just picked invoice payment approval because that's one thing that we did for them from a software perspective. And we're talking to them about their process and they said, oh, in the software, we're going to be able to need different colors of highlighters so that we can highlight the image of the invoice because we use those highlighters to mean different things. So today, like I have five highlighters on my desk of all different colors. And then we mark up the invoice with those highlighters. So we're going to need to do that in the software. Well, okay, but how about instead of just taking that down as a requirement, how about we ask, well, what are you doing with those highlighters? Well, you know, if we highlighted in blue, that means we found something that doesn't match the purchase order. Okay, so the actual business need is not, I need to highlight something in blue. The actual business need is we need to know when something on the invoice doesn't match the purchase order. That's the business capability, right? That's the business need. Now, is highlighter functionality in the software the best way to do that? Probably not. We have lots of options on the software side that could fulfill that capability without having to recreate five different colors of highlighter in the software, right? Because it's not about the highlighters. And it's not about the ability to highlight. It's about being able to designate things about this invoice that are problematic. Okay? So there are new ways that we can solve that problem. And that's exactly why you want to help users talk less about features that they want and more about the business problems, more about the business capabilities. Because whatever they generate, those are your user stories. And then we can start entering into discussions about, well, what's the best way to handle this capability with software? It's probably not five different highlighters, right? It's probably something else. But we can't do that if you already bring features and requirements and solutions to your designers and your developers, right? The last thing I want to say about the value that I think business analysts can bring is that you can figure out when it's time to have more detailed conversations about those user stories. This is counterintuitive for a lot of business analysts because a lot of times you are incentivized to get as far out ahead of the team as you possibly can with requirements. Folks, that is very risky. It is very risky for you to get too far ahead of the development team with requirements. Think about it like inventory for a manufacturing plant. You don't want 10 years worth of inventory at that manufacturing plant. Well, why not? Well, because the inventory can rust or it can be destroyed or we might never need to consume that inventory, right? Requirements are your inventory. And so you need to gauge how much inventory you have at any given time based on the demand, right? Now, I'm not saying there needs to be a one-to-one match because we don't really know the rate at which software is going to be developed. It's not like manufacturing. You're going to need a buffer, right? You don't want people to run out of work. But at the same time, you don't want to be like 5-6 months ahead of them in requirements because there's a huge risk that those requirements are going to change or that you're not even going to do them anymore. You remember that $1 million requirements document I told you about? When we got it, we found that well over 2/3 of that document was no longer valid. All that stuff had changed. Regulations had changed. The way that business was done had changed from a year ago when they started gathering those requirements. We had to chuck 2/3 of that requirements document right out the door and ask the users directly how they did these things now. We could have done that the whole time, right? So you need to be thinking about that as a business analyst. How fast are my developers, or how fast are we producing these user stories or PBIs or whatever? So how far out ahead of them do I need to be requirements? How do I walk that tightrope between making sure they don't run out, making sure we don't paint ourselves into a corner with doing a bunch of detail work for stuff that we're not going to get around to for months and months, runs a high risk of change, runs a high risk of not being done. You are that professional. You are that person who can look at the metrics and make that judgment call for yourself. And I think that's something that BAs really need to get into, because it is organizational risk to have requirements too far out in advance of your development team. I can't beat that drum loudly enough. And if you're a BA and that idea intrigues you, or you think you might get fired if you try it, please let me know. We can talk through that in more detail. But we're coming close on time. This is turning from an agile bite into more of an agile sub sandwich. And so I want to close, but I want to close with an example of what this might look like. So let's say I'm a business analyst and I'm talking to the user and they say something like, okay, well, I need to see a list. You know, we're approving invoices for payment. And they say, okay, well, I'm going to need to see a list of invoices on the screen. So they're talking about the software, right? So I want them to not talk about the software. So I might ask them questions like, what are you going to do with that list? Oh, well, we're going to use it to decide what invoice comes next. Okay, so it's about sequencing, right? I might ask them, how do you do this today? Well, right now, all the invoices go into this inbox and we just crank them out in the order in which they were received. Okay, well, do you need to see the stack of invoices in the inbox? No, we don't need to see them all at once. We don't do anything with them as a batch. We just need to have the sequence. Okay, so the business need is you need to do invoices in the order in which you received them. That's what we want to talk about. That's our user story, right? It's not, I want to see a list of invoices. That is not what I want to give to the developers. I want to give to the developers, an invoice payment approver needs to handle invoices in the order in which they were received. And then we're going to figure out the best way to do that. It might be a list of invoices. That might be a perfectly legitimate expression of that need or fulfillment of that need, but we're not locking ourselves into that, and we're not making the users design the software for us, right? Or they might say, yeah, right now we get these as emails, and I look at my email list, and if I got, you know, more than 50 emails, then I ask Megan from accounting to help me process some of them. Okay, well, that's a business need, right? When the number of unprocessed invoices gets to a certain point, we get Megan over here. So what does that mean? Well, it probably means that we need some kind of mechanism that's based around a certain limit that will then alert other people in the organization that they need to help, right? Now, how do we do that? I don't know. We might do it with a dashboard. We might do it with pop-up notifications. We might do it with emails. There's all kinds of ways that we might fulfill that need, but that's the business need, right? The business need is not, I need the system to email Megan every time we have more than 50 invoices. The business need is, if we got too many invoices, I need someone to help. Okay, that's the capability, right? And we can ask more specifics about that. Like, how do you end up with too many invoices? What do you do to notify Megan that she needs to help? We can unpack these things, and these things then become the raw materials from which we begin to build the software. But we build it from the standpoint of the capability that the user needs as seen from the user's perspective. That's what a user story is. Users should not be telling you what features they want. They should be telling you what they need to get done. We will figure out what features they need on the basis of that. And that is a process that I think BAs are in a unique position, adds so much value to agile teams. So I hope that at least gives you food for thought. I know we kind of flew over a lot of stuff at a high level. You may be sitting over there thinking, I just don't see how realistic any of that stuff is. Well, of course, I understand that. I talked about it for like 5 seconds apiece. But this is where BAs need to evolve into an agile organization. On the one hand, I think it's a lot less busy work. You're going to be working a lot less in Word or Jira or whatever. but you're going to be doing a lot more work that's insanely valuable to your users, as well as the developers, and ultimately assist them in building exactly the software needed for the value the users want to achieve. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Agile Bites. Agile does sometimes bite, but we don't think it always has to. If you enjoyed what you heard today, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you happen to be using. And if you can, leave us a comment, because we'd love to hear your feedback. What things would you like to hear about? What things did you hear that were valuable to you today? You can also head over to integrityinspired.com to sign up to our email list. But that's all for today, folks. We'll see you next time.